What are the best stock index ETFs for investors in Belgium? What are the most diversified, cost-effective, tax-efficient, high-performance ETFs that we can invest in from Belgium? In this episode, we cover the FIRE Belgium ETF selection checklist to help you pick the very best ETFs, how to practically check each of those criteria for an ETF. We're going to use IWDA here, a specific ETF, as an example to show you step by step how to do it. Then we're going to look at the top five ETFs that fulfill those criteria for investors in Belgium with full details. And of course, we're going to do a comparison between those five ETFs. If you want to build wealth on autopilot with the power of index funds in Belgium, then this episode is for you. Note that selecting a stock index ETF is only a small part of what you need to do to be a successful index investor for the long term. You also need to build your personal investment plan, identify investment goals, select the correct asset allocation, understand how to manage your taxes, select the right broker, learn how to do the transactions properly, and all of that. Right, and to learn more about the full strategy of index investing, I recommend you check my free workshop, which is available on the website firebelgium.com investing workshop. It's free, and there I provide you with my full blueprints on how to get started without beginner's mistakes. Hi, my name is Sebastian Aguilar. I'm the founder of FIRE Belgium. I've been investing since 2012 and teaching index investing since 2015. I have a portfolio of more than 1 million euros built solely through simple saving from my employment and investing in index funds. Nothing magical, just simple saving and investing in index funds. Today, I've run a couple of financial education communities with over 40,000 members in total. Welcome to the FIRE Belgium show. Before we dive into the details of the top five best index ETFs for Belgium investors, just a quick disclaimer, I am not a regulated financial advisor. This is not personal financial advice. I am sharing what I have learned over the years, actually a decade now, and what I think many people can benefit from. But your personal situation is unique to you and requires an investing strategy that is tailored to that unique situation and to your preferences. So determining how to invest and what to invest in is very specific to you. And you need to build your own personal investment plan and go through the journey of figuring out what's suitable for your situation. In this specific podcast episode, we are only covering stock index ETFs, but I am convinced that the vast majority of people need to have fixed income in their portfolio as well, something like a bond ETF. Irrespective of what people are saying about bond ETFs, I believe they are part of a well-balanced portfolio and required for the vast majority of people. Now, this is because bond ETFs bring much-needed diversification to stocks. Both asset classes are poorly correlated, so they tend to behave in different ways. And so it adds stability and it gives you power for rebalancing during your long investing journey. And mostly because holding stocks 100% of the time is very hard. It's especially hard to stay the course during market crashes when you're 100% in stocks. And so we, as long-term investors, since we know that market crashes are part of the journey, we have to be ready for market crashes happening at any point in time. And so basically, to be able to be ready, we want to have asset allocation, our portfolio, aligned with our risk tolerance, our risk capacity. And in most cases, that means having fixed income as well as part of our portfolio. Now, in the previous episode, we've covered the general criteria on how to pick the right stock index ETF optimized for taxes in Belgium. We've described those criteria in great details in that episode. So if you want to go through this in details, I recommend you go check that. Right now, I'm just going to summarize quickly what these criteria are. So we have seven general criteria and three tax optimization criteria. The seven general criteria are: we want management style of the ETF to be passive and low cost. We want the ETF to be diversified, because it's an effective risk mitigation approach. We want low-cost index ETFs, so we want ongoing costs to be lower than 0.25%. We prefer physical or sampling optimized replication. We like ETFs that are well-established, and so we want them to be above a certain size, 100 million euros. We like our investing to be simple, so we want to invest in ETFs that are available in euros because it's easier to invest in euros first from Belgium. If you have specific sustainable or ethical convictions, then you can align your investments to those by selecting an ETF that has ethical criteria included. And then we have three criteria for tax optimization in Belgium. The first one is that we want the dividends to be reinvested by the ETF itself. So we don't want ETFs that distribute dividends because they're taxed at 30% in Belgium. We want the ETF to be domiciled in Ireland, preferably, and if not possible, then in Luxembourg. Those two are a much better choice than the United States as a domicile for the ETF because it reduces taxes in general, including inheritance tax. And finally, we want an ETF. If it's an accumulating ETF, we would prefer that ETF to not be registered in Belgium, but registered in another country of the European Economic Area, because with the current tax regulations in Belgium, that means that we would, in this specific case, pay only 0.12% instead of 1.32% for when the ETF is registered in Belgium on accumulating ETFs. Right, so this is a quick summary. Again, if you want to go deeper into this, I recommend you check the previous episode. We might have also an article on the website between now and when I publish this. So go check that out. Now, we are not going to cover the top five ETFs that I believe are the best in terms of fulfilling these selection criteria. And the first one is iShares Core MSCI World UCITS ETF. It's also very well known in the community as IWDA. This ETF is passively managed. It follows the MSCI World Index. It's broadly diversified. It invests in large and mid-sized companies in 23 developed economies. So IWDA does not invest in small cap and does not invest in emerging markets, but larger mid-cap sized company in the developed economies. It has a low TER of 0.20%. It uses physical replication. It is very large. It is actually the biggest ETF on our list. Of 36 ETFs that is part of the Index Investing Online course that we basically, this is the full maxi list that is part of the Index Investing Online course, has 36 ETFs in them. We do full analysis of all of those. And this one is the biggest of all. It's also one of the oldest. IWDA was launched in 2009 or 2012, but it's been very, very popular. And for a long time, it was the favorite of all index investors in Belgium and in many other countries in Europe. And so today it is the biggest amongst the list that I have, a 68 billion. It is available in euros on the Amsterdam, Frankfurt, Milan stock exchanges. It does not have any ESG or impact filter applied. So it just invests in everything. And it is fully tax optimized for Belgium. So it's accumulating, domiciled in Ireland. And it's registered in a country of European Economic Area, but not in Belgium. And to be more practical, I will now go to the website of IWDA and show you what that looks like when you're looking to figure out whether an ETF actually fulfills this criteria. So obviously, now this is an example with iShares, but you can do this with any ETF. Go to the website, go to the ETF fact sheet, and look for this specific information. The fact sheet is also very important, right? Don't just rely on the website. Sometimes some information will be on the fact sheet and on the website, and sometimes the other way around. For those of you who are listening to the audio version of this podcast, then I will describe everything I can, basically going through what we just went through with the summary for IWDA. But it will certainly, if you were to go and select an ETF and see if it fulfills the criteria that we have discussed so far, then it's easier if you follow on YouTube, because we're going to be showing on the screen exactly what that looks like on IWDA webpage and what to look for, right? Now, if you don't have time to go to YouTube, no problem. The audio version would be good too, because we're going to describe everything in great details. So IWDA, iShares Core MSCI World UCITS ETF, when you go to the website, it actually doesn't say IWDA. IWDA, when you scroll down all the way down to the page, you see it's basically the ticker that this ETF uses on Euronext Amsterdam and on the London Stock Exchange, as well as in Mexico, by the way. ETFs will be listed on various stock exchanges, and depending on the stock exchange and the currency, they might have different tickers. And the ticker is kind of the short name for that specific ETF, but it changes, it can change from one stock market to another. It can change from one currency to another. So for this specific ETF, it actually has three different tickers that varies depending on the stock market in which you buy. So it's IWDA in Amsterdam, it's EUNL in Frankfurt, Deutsche Börse, etc., right? And it's SWDA in Euro in Milan, Borsa Italiana, right? So this ETF is known, it's using basically three different tickers in euros on three different stock markets. We've referred to it as IWDA because the vast majority of investors in the index investing community in Belgium buy it on the Euronext Amsterdam Stock Exchange. So that's IWDA. But some of you might buy it in Frankfurt, and then it would be EUNL, and some others in Milan, SWDA. If you want to buy it in dollars, you could buy it on the London Stock Exchange. That would be IWDA again. And if you want to buy it in pounds, you could also buy it in London Stock Exchange, and that would be SWDA again. Anyway, just clarifying this, if you're new to index ETFs, this might help understanding those differences, right? Now, each ETF also exists in various types or various sub-funds, and usually there will be an accumulating version of the ETF and a distributing version of the ETF. We're not going to go into all the details right now, but basically, as we are investing from Belgium, we want to avoid dividend distributions because they get taxed at 30%, and so we prefer the accumulating version of the ETF. Something else that's quite important as we're discussing this is to realize that most index ETFs, all those that we like to invest in, are in many cases managed in dollars, right? So the fund base currency, which you can find on the website or the fact sheet, will often be dollars. And don't let that be, that's not a problem basically, because most investment funds have the base currency in dollars. But as you have just seen now, that ETF is available for you to invest in euros in Amsterdam, Frankfurt, and Milan. And so this is not at all a problem. It's actually very, very common. So we've looked at so far whether it was available in euros or not. We've understand the tickers. We've looked at the base currency, but we understand now it's available in euros. In the key facts, we will also find the total expense ratio, or the TER, which is the ongoing cost basically for running the ETF within. And that is 0.20%, as we've seen, as we've discussed earlier. This is a low-cost index ETF. It's an excellent low cost. So certainly very good. We see also that WDA actually has $71 billion of assets under management. It's more than the 68 that I had listed a bit earlier, because it includes several sub-funds in addition to just the main one. And it was launched in 2009, as I was saying. So it's been around for 15 years. It does follow the benchmark index MSCI World Index. So it is fully passive. It has, obviously, it's an equity ETF. The ISIN number is a number that is basically the unique identifier for that specific ETF on the stock market. When you do the research for a specific ETF on your brokerage account, I always recommend using the ISIN number, because that's going to list the ETF. Irrespective of how you type the name, it will give you the ETF that you're looking for, and it should give you as well the different stock markets on which it's available with the currencies that you can buy it into, right? So the ISIN number is really the key identifier that you use for your search to make sure that you get exactly the ETF that you're looking for, because there's a lot of ETFs and sometimes the names are very similar, but they're not the same thing, right? We see here that product structure is physical optimized. Optimized means that they don't necessarily invest in every single holding that is part of the index, but they will invest in a representative sample of the holdings that are part of the index, so that the ETF tracks as closely as possible to actually the index without having to spend all the money that it would take to have all, even the tiniest small stocks in the index. Right, so this is a way to reduce costs essentially, and to keep tracking error low. So to keep the difference between the actual index fund and the index, so the main benchmark, as low as possible. We see here that the domicile of the ETF is Ireland, right? So this is good from a tax perspective. It reduces the withholding tax at various levels, and it basically prevents you from being exposed to estate tax, to inheritance tax. In the United States, on investments that are above $60,000, the inheritance tax there can be very heavy if you're not a resident in the United States. What else is interesting to see here? We see the number of holdings is 1,481. This number varies with time. Sometimes it goes up, sometimes it goes down, depending on exactly how they implement the strategy. It is not all the holdings in the MSCI World Index. It is basically a sample that's optimized to represent and track the index as closely as possible. 1,481, it's a great number. Basically, that's amazing. It's great diversification. So nothing to worry about here. I think we've covered everything except from registered locations. So when we are on the website for WDA, we can see that the ETF is registered in many countries of Europe and the European Economic Area. So Germany, Italy, France, and many more, but it's not registered in Belgium. And this is a good news because that means that the accumulating version of this will not be taxed on the transaction at 1.32, so that's a tax on transaction in Belgium, but will be taxed at 0.12%, which is basically the lowest tax on transaction we can get in Belgium. Now, looking at a registered location or countries of registration on the website for the ETF is usually not sufficient, because to know whether the ETF is actually registered or not, you should check the FS lists that tracks basically all the investment funds that are registered in Belgium. There's a specific list for Belgian funds and a specific list, which obviously registered in Belgium, but also a specific list for international funds to see whether they're registered in Belgium or not. Funds that are registered in Belgium are basically allowed to be marketed inside Belgium by the industry. And when they're not, then they simply don't do any active promotion for that ETF. A lot of ETF providers know that when the ETF is registered in Belgium, then the tax on transaction goes up. And so they don't register the ETF. So that's the case for IWD. It's not registered in Belgium, so that the tax is reduced and they don't actively promote it. But it's widely known that this is an excellent tax optimizer of investing. I think we've covered all the things that we wanted to see as part of our selection criteria for this ETF. So we're going to continue with our list of ETFs. The second ETF that we're going to look at is an ETF that is known as VWCE. This is the Vanguard FTSE All World UCITS ETF. It's a very, very, very popular ETF. It's an ETF that was launched in 2019, I believe, and that very quickly became the most popular ETF in the index investing community, overtaking IWDA for a couple of reasons. The main reason is that VWCE included emerging economies. So when people invested in IWDA, generally what we like to do when we invest in an ETF like IWDA, which invests mostly in developed economies, is to add an ETF that also invests in emerging markets, because that would give us global diversification and we don't basically bet everything on just the OECD countries or developed market economies, but also have a portion of our portfolio that's dedicated to emerging economies, because they have shown to basically behave slightly differently at different periods of time, right? So IWDA doesn't have emerging economies. So usually we'd have IWDA plus another ETF to make a global ETF, like a global exposure. With VWCE, this was not necessary anymore because it includes emerging economies. So VWCE basically was the first all-in-one ETF, and the best that when it came out. It wasn't the first, because there were some other ones, but they were more expensive. This one, when it came out, was the cheapest and best at that time, with a TR of 0.22, so slightly more expensive than IWDA, but it includes emerging economies, and so it makes basically people's portfolio simpler. They could have one ETF for stocks, one ETF for bonds, no need for a third emerging markets ETF. And so from there came the meme, especially on Reddit, VWCE and chill, which is basically saying I put everything in this one ETF and I chill, which means I don't do anything else. And this is because for some reason on Reddit, a lot of people don't see the benefit of holding bonds, you know, which is an opinion I disagree with, mostly because it's a very surface level understanding of what bonds are for and how they work and the impact on taxes on bonds gains in Belgium. So I think it's a mistake, but for most people, I believe, as I said earlier, I think bonds play a big role. But certainly VWC and CHILL was a common meme. And it has changed over time, especially since the FSMA came out, I think, in 2021 and clarified that actually, even though the VWCE, the accumulating version of this specific fund, is not registered on the list of the FSMA, so registered in Belgium, there is a distributing version that exists since before VWCE, VWRL, that is registered in Belgium. And so it is on the list of the FSMA. And the FSMA basically came out and clarified that because the distributing version of the CTF was registered, it meant that everything was registered. And so the tax on transactions should be 1.32 and not 0.12, like some brokers are still applying today. So basically, today we have this confusion around the tax on transaction for VWCE. Some brokers apply 0.12%, such as DEGIRO, and then some other brokers apply a higher tax on transaction, 1.32, because it is aligned with what the regulator said and clarified. And so this leads to uncertainties. One, because yes, it's tempting to go to the broker that basically charges a lower TOB of 0.12 and hope for the best. It's annoying to have to pay 1.32% when there's better options or, options that are 0.12, but also because we're not really sure what would happen in case the TOB was calculated and paid incorrectly by those brokers, right, who charged 0.12%. What would happen if that's the case? And so I did a little bit of research on this, and some of the brokers that charged 0.12% actually replied by email saying, we are not responsible for the TOB being calculated correctly and applied correctly and paid correctly. So if anything was wrong there, it would be the investor's responsibility. And so this is really worrying me. I'm not going to name, but I guess those of you who know some of those brokers might think of which there are. But certainly I would recommend, if you're investing with a broker that charges 0.12% for VWCE, ask them what would happen in case this specific tax was wrongly calculated and paid by them. And if the regulator was to come after you or them, what would happen? Who would pay for what? Who is responsible to get this correctly calculated and paid? And who would handle the penalties, because they can be very heavy, right? So this is kind of something to think about and certainly check, because it could become very big amounts, especially when we understand how penalties are calculated for wrong TOB calculation and payments. On the other hand, I asked specifically Bolero what would happen in case this tax is poorly calculated and paid, and they said that they would be responsible. So I asked Bolero, obviously it's a positive response, so I'm happy to share that. I'm not going to name the brokers that basically pushed back on that responsibility, because it might just be that one email, that one guy that was in a bad mood. It's worth checking, certainly. Anyway, so some controversy around this. It makes VWC, despite being so interesting, it's a little bit, well, there's some, uncertainties. And so luckily we have more ETFs that came and that are also quite interesting to look at. So the third ETF that we are looking at is SPDR MSCI World UCITS ETF. It's also known as SWRD in the community, again, for the same reason as VWC and OBV. This is the ticker that we use when we are investing in it from Belgium on stock exchanges like, I think, Amsterdam and Frankfurt. So this ETF follows the MSCI World Index, the same as IWDA. So it invests also in large and mid-sized companies in 23 developed economies, not emerging markets and not small cap. It has a very, very low TER of 0.12%. So this is, almost half of VWC's TER. Physical replication, it's a large ETF, 5.1 billion. It's available in euros. It doesn't have any sustainability filters, and it's tax optimized for Belgium. There's no controversy around the TOB here. The ETF is not registered in Belgium in either form, and so it's 0.12% on the transaction. Now, so this seems to be a nice alternative to IWDA. It follows essentially the same index, and it has a lower TER. That is the main difference. It has a lower TER, and it's slightly smaller, but it's still large enough to be very well established. So from a direct comparison, when we look at those ETFs, this one is cheaper and does the same thing, right? Now, TER is not the final comparison criteria either, right? When two things are exactly the same. In fact, TER is kind of a proxy for something else that we would like to use as a measurement, which would be tracking error or performance compared to the index itself. But tracking error is just more difficult to get in terms of data. It varies over time. And so it's a bit harder to figure out and see how it impacts anything, whereas TER is something that we understand quite clearly. And so that's why we use that as a criteria. But now if you put SWRD and ABWDA together on us, you know, and you see historical performance, there would be very, very little difference, right? Despite the 0.8%, 0.08% difference in cost, it would be a tiny difference. And sometimes one comes out higher than the other, depending on what period you take. But it's basically very, very similar, despite the tiny, tiny difference in total expense ratio. All right, let's move on. This is SPDR again, MSCI ACWI. IMI, so this is the all world investable market. All of this basically saying that this is a version of an ETF that invests in large, mid, and small size companies. So this is all cap. It doesn't limit itself to large and mid size companies like we've seen in the previous three ETFs, but also includes small cap companies. So it's like a wider diversification. And it also includes emerging economies. So not only the developed market, right? And this is because the index that is followed does that, right? So this index here invests in all of those, and so the ETF as well. But the index covers those, and the ETF follows, and so invests in all of these additional bits of the economy of the stock market. The total expense ratio is 0.17%, so it's low cost. It's physical replication, it's well established, 1.1 billion, and it's available in euros in Paris, Frankfurt, and Milan. So this is basically an ETF. I think is better than VWCE, mostly because it has slightly low TER and it includes also small cap, right? It's basically the most diversified ETF that we have across all five that we're discussing today. And it has a pretty low TER of 0.17%. And so this is SPDR, MSCI, ACWI, IMI, UCITS ETF. And then the fifth ETF is also the newest, something that it's an ETF that was launched actually in 2023 in June, so not even 8-9 months ago. And for a long time, it was under the $100 million criteria or mark in terms of size, so we would not include it, but then it recently crossed it and it's just, you know, growing in size quite rapidly. So now it's included in all our analysis. This ETF follows the FTSE All World Index, so that is the same as VWCE, right? Which means that it invests in large and mid-sized companies in the developed and emerging economies, but not in small cap, which is, you know, what the previous ETF that we looked at was doing. The TR is very low. It's 0.15%. So this is the second lowest TR that we have across all five. It's physical replication. It's large enough now to be included. That's $112 million. Last time I checked, it was 111. A few weeks before, it was 93. So it's just going fast. It's, you know, it's picking up, you know, for good reasons, because it's an excellent ETF from my point of view. It's available in euros in Frankfurt and Milan, and it's fully tax optimized. So I guess here, this ETF is really quite interesting because it fulfills all the criteria. It's low cost. Some people might still be worried about the size, but it's, you know, crossed the criteria that we like to use, 100 million. So we have good hopes for this ETF, and it seems to be an excellent choice alongside the other four. Now, in terms of comparison, for those of you who are listening to the podcast on audio version, this might be a bit more challenging, but basically for those of you who are watching the YouTube video of this, you can see now a summary table of all of these ETFs, right? So I'll try to recap also for those of you who are listening to the audio. We have five ETFs, right? IWDA, VWCE, SWRD, IMIE, IMIE, or SPYI, and then FUIA, which is the last one from Invesco. Right. So we've covered those five ETFs in the episode. And here we have a summary table. A few things that I can say is that IWDA is iShares and VWC is Vanguard. These two basically are the largest fund managers in the world. They're very well established and they're highly controlled. SPDR, which is basically the third and fourth ETF that we discussed today, is one of the next ones in line in terms of size. Invesco, on the other hand, which is the manager for the last ETF that we discussed, the very new one, Invesco is still fairly small and fairly new. It's It is like it's in the top 10 of fund managers around the world in terms of asset class, of asset size under management, but it's a bit smaller, right? So in this table, I'm listing the ISIN numbers, which you should use if you're looking for these ETFs on your brokerage account. In terms of market cap and diversification, we see that IWDA is large and mid cap. So is VWCE and SWRD and FUIA. They're large and mid cap. Only the SPDR, MSCI, ACWI, IMI, UCITS, IMIE, which is the fourth ETF we discussed today, invests in all caps, including small caps. So this is additional diversification. From a geographic perspective, we have IWDA and SWRD, which are both investing in developed markets only, not emerging, whereas the other three are all world. So they invest in developed and emerging markets. And then we have the number of holdings, which we did not discuss before. But basically, all of them have a large number of holdings with a lot of diversification at that level. And we have IWDA and SWRD, which invest only in developed markets. They have 1,500 holdings, more or less, invested in, no? So in ETF. Whereas VWCE and IMIE have 3,700 and 3,000, respectively. And the last one, FUIA, is at 2,000. Holdings within the ETF. Basically, they're all very widely diversified, right? So that's basically what it says, with IMIE being more diversified than the others because it includes both emerging markets and small cap as well. They're all physical replication. They all have a decent size, above $100 million. They all have a low TER, but with a special mention of SWRD, which is the cheapest, 0.12%. FUIA, the second cheapest, 0.15%. So that's the last ETF we covered. And then IMIE, the one that's widely diversified, like the one that has maximum diversification, is 0.17%. They're all domiciled in Ireland. They're all accumulating. And in terms of countries of registration, they're all pretty good. And so that involves, basically that impacts the tax on transaction, the TOB. They're all pretty good, apart from VWCE, for which there is some uncertainty. As far as I understand, it should be 1.32. But the question remains open. Right. So these are the top five ETFs as part of the huge research and study that me and Ton Kuipers, my partner, we have arrived to in the Index Investing online course, and with the hundreds of students that are working with us to basically build a simple and effective investment portfolio. We cover many more ETFs. We cover sustainable ETFs. We cover bond ETFs. We cover many alternatives to these five as well. This is just the top five. But top five from this specific criteria, right? So there are other criteria that you could include. And we have in total 36 ETFs that is in this huge file right now and that the students are using to build their portfolios. Certainly, if that's something of interest, then, contact me. Check the Index Investing online course for sure. We cover so many things in there. If you're wondering what to do next, so if you're new at index investing, if you're on the way to selecting your index ETF and you're getting started and you're wondering about asset allocation, you're wondering about brokers, you're wondering about how to define your investment goals, understanding your risk capacity and risk tolerance. We have a full framework on just that in the course. If you're curious about how to optimize taxes at various levels, how to rebalance your portfolio, how to actually implement all this once you have, a brokerage account, transaction step by step, all of that we can help you with, right? And there's basically a few different ways you can continue learning with me and with Fire Belgium. And that the first one would be to simply download the beginner's guide to index investing, which you can find at firebelgium.com/guide. You can also watch the free workshop on how to start index investing on the website again, firebelgium.com investing workshop, because there basically I'm explaining the whole process, how to get started, why index investing is so powerful, how you can start investing with less than 100 euros in 5 minutes per month. And I share also my entire blueprint on all the steps to follow to actually get started without making beginner's mistakes. This investing workshop is full of value. It's completely free. It's a gift to you. So if you haven't seen it, if you haven't watched it, then I recommend you go do that. And then you can also book one-on-one consultations with myself or other consultants and experts we have there. Right now, there's three of us, myself, Ton Kuipers, who can also help you in Dutch if you prefer. He's a total expert in brokers, but also on ETF selections. And you can also work with Tim Nijsmans, who is a consultant for Fire Belgium. And finally, if you just want to get it done, if you've been looking at investing for a while, if it's been on your to-do list for a long time and you're still confused about certain things, I'm hoping that this episode, this video podcast, has helped you make progress in terms of selecting your index ETF. Just realize that this is only one small piece of the whole thing, right? If you want to be successful long-term in index investing, there's a lot more you need to learn and a lot more you need to put in place. You need to basically tailor all of this to your personal situation and actually implement. And that is what we focus on the Index Investing Online course. You can find it on academy.firebelgium.com. The course exists in English and in Dutch as well. And it basically takes you from wherever you are to having a fully optimized investment system that runs on autopilot, that takes less than 5 minutes a month, actually less than a minute once you know what you're doing. And it comes with all the support you need, whether that's from me, from your peers. You get access to Q&A sessions. You get access to replays of the Q&A sessions. The course is fully automated. It's a bit like Netflix. So once you join, you have access to everything. You can watch what you want. It's provided to you. It's given to you in a step-by-step fashion so that you basically learn what you need at the right time in the right order. You can decide to dive in deeper in certain aspects, but we build it in a way that's the most practical for you to be able to move forward with the with the information you need. Our investment philosophy is that we want you to build an investment portfolio that works for the very long term. It works in all market cycles. It would work if there's a market crash. It works if the market goes up. You don't have to change it every time there's a new ETF or a new broker. There is very little to do. All you have to do is log in once a month or once a quarter, buy the exact same two ETFs again, log out, and that's it. You don't have to worry about financial news. You don't have to worry about analyzing the markets. You don't have to worry about what other people are doing. You don't have to worry about having to invest one company or the other because you already own it. It's in your broadly diversified, low-cost, buy-and-hold portfolio of index funds, and you have the right level of bonds and fixed income in there that you don't even have to worry about a stock market crash because those, they happen. It's not a matter of if there's going to be a market crash. The only question that some people are trying to answer is when it's going to happen. And we don't even try to do that because we know most people fail at doing that. So we are ready for it anytime. But we're also ready for when there's no market crash and the markets are going up because it's optimized for long-term performance. Anyway, I think I've spoken enough about the Index Investing Online course. Basically, it's there to help you. And everything that I do is there to help you. A lot of stuff is for free. Some stuff is paid. Usually, the paid services are simply there to help you move faster, better, without making beginner's mistakes. It's a shortcut, right? You could spend months and years learning on your own, making the mistakes, being burned in the first market crash, and then coming back and being like, oh, that was maybe too aggressive, or making some mistakes with the taxes or with brokers or something. You can, or you can take a shortcut, work with, an experienced consultant coach, someone who has done this for many years, helped many people, has experience doing that. And that costs you a little bit of money, but it gets it done fast. So tons of value. All you have to do is check the testimonials that we have there, and you'll see that it's actually very effective. So that's it for today. I hope you enjoyed this episode. It's a very practical episode. I hope it brings you a lot of value. If you found this useful, then please share it with other people that you know are investing. Share it even people who are not investing because they need to know how it works. And I think there's a lot of value in this one. And so I think they'll learn a lot from this, even if some stuff might seem a little complicated for a complete beginner. It doesn't take too long to really understand all of this properly. So while this might have been a little fast for some people, I think it's basically one step forward for most of those people, so maybe for you as well, in the right direction to basically get started with index investing in a simple and effective way, optimize for long-term benefits, right? It's all about that, the long-term perspective, buy and hold, stay the course. All right, that's it for today. I hope you enjoyed, and I'll see you next time. Cheers.